Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I always feel weird starting a text where it says the next day. I feel compelled to give you the context of the day before so you understand what's going on. And I always do it when we come to this text on Palm Sunday, so I apologize for the repetitiveness, but it never hurts. To give you the context, Jesus had just recently raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus and Lazarus are in Bethany, and Martha is serving them a meal. And Mary and Martha's sister, Martha's sister, comes in and anoints Jesus' feet with around a pound of ointment made from pure nard, and then wipes his feet with her hair. This is a clear picture of humble service. Yet Judas gets upset. He's upset because, well, John's gospel tells us he wanted the nard to sell for himself so that he could pocket the money, even though he stated that his reason was that that would have brought in 300 denarii, and as you know, that's about almost a year's worth of wages, and he wanted it for the poor. But in actuality, he was skimming off the profits. And now, with Jesus and Lazarus in the same place, the Jews are coming out of the woodwork to see Jesus and the man he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests not only want Jesus dead, but they want Lazarus dead. And now it's the next day. And Jesus comes in, well, not rather secretly. He's not trying to sneak past the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. He's decided he's going to fulfill the prophecies. And the people are throwing down branches and their cloaks on the road, combined with the shouts, "Hosanna, save us! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And the laying of the clothing on the ground was an ancient act of homage for kings, and the waving of the branches a sign of celebration, something you can still see today in Israel and Palestine at weddings and at festal events. And yet the shout, "Lord, save us," is accompanied to this. This would remind any Old Testament hearer of parts of Psalm 118, which is the last part of the Hallel Psalms that were commonly prayed at morning prayer and would have been spoken by those ascending to Jerusalem in their festal celebration. Cyril of Alexandria says it this way: "The multitudes do not praise Jesus with ordinary language, but quote from the inspired scriptures that which was beautifully spoken regarding him, confessing that he was indeed the King of Israel. They call him their own king and accept the lordship of Christ." The crowd is quoting Psalm 118, verses 24 through 28. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altars. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you," the psalmist records. And these people believed that Jesus was their king. Many knew of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And now the course is set. Our Lord rides this morning was foretold by Zechariah the prophet. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. He is humble and mounted on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey." And Matthew shares with us where the colt came from. Jesus told his disciples, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." Yet Jesus nor his disciples are donkey thieves. this is being done with permission of the owner and to fulfill what had been prophesied as well. So Jesus rides into Jerusalem on this donkey, and it was necessary, just as it was necessary for Jesus to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, so it was throughout Jesus' ministry. Luke records, "Go tell John what you see and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." Just as it will be on Good Friday, as we heard last week. "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priest and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Jesus is fulfilling all that is necessary for our salvation. Indeed, we can shout and join with the crowd screaming, "Hosanna!" Because the Lord does save. Knowing that he is going to Jerusalem to die and rise again, Jesus doesn't, well, do it under the cloak of darkness. He triumphantly rides in, not as a warrior king, but as a servant king, on a donkey, not a war horse. And this is to the great displeasure of the Pharisees, who are seeking to kill him, as they said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And if only the Pharisees were prophesying, if only that were correct. Instead of following Jesus as they should have, the Pharisees seek to shame Jesus for his response for the response he is receiving. As Luke records of these events, "And the Pharisees and the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" You see, what is about to happen, what is going to happen 7 days from now with the resurrection, what will happen on Good Friday with his crucifixion, all of creation has been crying out and groaning and crying out for since the fall of Adam and Eve. They have been crying out to be redeemed. And the men and the women and the children are shouting, "Hosanna." You see, the theology of glory, well, it is quick to spark and equally quick to die out. Jesus looks at his disciples. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. "Let's follow Jesus," they say. "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel," they say. And then Jesus is arrested. And we see ourselves then in Peter. As he runs away and hides at the very sound of young ladies around a fire speaking to him. "O Lord, have mercy on us. How we have denied our Lord. How we have rejected our cry of Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. How we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. How we have not done the things we should, and have forgotten or ignored to do the things that, well, the things that we are commanded to do, and how we continue to do the things that we are told not to do. We are no different than the crowd. We are no different than the disciples. We aren't even different than the scribes and the Pharisees who want Jesus dead. Think of it. When we first hear that our sins are forgiven, we rejoice. We can't hear it enough. But soon it seems less important. We desire more. And that's the theology of glory that grabs you. The theology that wants to stay on Palm Sunday and doesn't want to go through Good Friday. The theology that wants Easter without Good Friday. And the theology of glory can't offer you anything. It is a constant desire for more. More feelings, more fun, more money, more growth, more, 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 and it will get the best of you. If you want more than Jesus, I have to tell you today, you really don't want Jesus. If you want more than forgiveness, you really don't think you're a sinner. You lied today when you made your confession that you had sinned in thought, word, and deed. And yet Jesus rides into Jerusalem to the shouts with the prayer, Hosanna, Lord, save us. And that is exactly what he does. Through his death and resurrection, he joins himself to the very means of grace, his word and his sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And there he gives you his life-giving self. So with eyes of faith and repentant hearts, we stand together. We shout Hosanna, knowing that we are indeed saved. We find peace in the fact that while our sins are like scarlet, they are indeed declared as white as snow because Jesus has conquered all for us. So with eyes of faith, may we now understand that all these things point us to Jesus' death and resurrection. That we don't get to stop today with the crowd screaming Hosanna, but we have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, right through the cross of Christ, each day in our baptism, each time it's offered in the Lord's Supper. We receive that which is given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. His disciples, verse 16 says, did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. There are 300, at least 300 Old Testament prophecies that are all fulfilled in the one person, Jesus Christ. And they're all fulfilled not for him, but for us. So that on a day like today, the next day, eternal life is ours, and we know it. By grace through faith alone, we have peace in this because Jesus Christ has done it all. So may we join our voices and say, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel, for he is the King of all creation. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.